In regard to what Brother Marty was preaching, I thought of an observation that Solomon made, in which he was saying, I've looked out across the world and the people therein, and here's something that I've observed in operation. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And it's almost as if he's saying, I can't really explain this, but here's what I've seen out there in the world. And God's people can see that, and we can enjoy the blessings of following what Brother Marty preached. As he began his subject and read from Matthew chapter 7, I have the same thoughts about his subject that I do for mine, and that is a subject for mature Christians. It's for those that want to be mature Christians, and I hope that describes all of us. Well, I want to bring to you another subject like that, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, and beginning with verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So I want to speak to you tonight on that short expression in verse 44 where Jesus says, love your enemies. Now this is not the philosophy of the world. Jesus identified the philosophy of the world in verse 43. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. If people are nice to you, you certainly want to be nice to them. If people help you out, you help them out. That's the general thinking of the world. Now, I realize there are wicked and evil men that don't even meet that standard. But the general idea out there in the world, among those that you would consider good people, that's the way that many behave. But Jesus then says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Now I believe the reason that this particular command has not been implemented as it should be is because people don't know how to implement it. Does this mean you go and hug your enemy? Does this mean that you make plans to do things with them? What does it mean to love your enemy? Well, Jesus will develop that thought, and I believe if we can get understanding on how you go about loving your enemies, we'll find that it's a very important principle for us as Christians to have in our lives. But first of all, we can usually go to Jesus as the perfect example of loving your enemies. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." When we were enemies, the enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul writes, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." We were enemies, but we were reconciled by the death of Christ, and now we can be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What if Jesus treated his enemies? What if God beheld his enemies as we often do ours? And some of us could probably say, as we usually treat our enemies. So what does it mean to love your enemies? Is it a feeling? I've never felt good toward my enemies. It doesn't seem like I can work that up. How about you? If somebody's opposed me and taken advantage of me, I've never been able to say, well, I'm going to feel toward them as good as I do toward my best friends. I just can't do that. You say, well, to love my enemies means that when I'm in their presence, I feel calm and settled. That's usually not the case. You see, love is an action word. God loved his enemies in Christ, that he sacrificed Christ for them. Just think about that. Would you love your enemy so much, someone that had always opposed you, you would love them so much that you would sacrifice your child for their welfare? Well, we would never do that, but that's exactly what the Lord did. Now, loving your enemies is not the same as loving your wife. It's not the same thing. Loving your enemies is not the same as the love we have in the church. When John says, love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and known of God. And he also teaches us that we are to love one another. Loving your enemies is not the same. Jesus explains what it is. He tells us how to love our enemies. We need to know how to love our enemies. And he uses three different expressions here. Notice in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 44, he says, "Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, the way I understand this is here is three levels of intensity in terms of how your enemies treat you. He says there are those that curse you. That doesn't mean they cuss you out. That might be part of it. But what it means to curse you is to invoke evil. In other words, an enemy that curses you, it's his desire that things don't go well with you. He desires things to go bad with you. So Jesus says, bless them that curse you. So to bless those that curse you is to essentially call upon God for his assistance and his protection in their lives. Now you say, brother, buddy, that just doesn't make sense. Let's look at an example. You know, most of the time people are unforgiving if you make an error while driving, right? If you unintentionally pull in front of someone, if you unintentionally go when it's not your time at a four-way stop, people are not as forgiving as they should be when you make a mistake. On the way here today, we had a man just speed by us. You know what my first expression was? Look at that fool. Well, he was behaving as a fool. But you know what my human nature wanted to think? That I hope it doesn't go well with him. Even as little as this, he got way ahead of me, and then I was glad that he got caught at the red light. See how depraved we are? When someone does something like that to you, Your response should be, Lord, I pray that you would bless them in the sense that they would learn to see the error of their way, that they would recognize the danger that they're being to other people. Lord, bless them to take more responsibility. Lord, deal with them in a good way. We're not praying that the Lord will punish them or, Lord, I hope he gets what he deserves. Don't go down that road. Lord, I hope he has a wreck. See, that's to love. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's easy to hate your enemy. He says, bless them that curse you. If somebody wants to get in your lane and they're getting in it without your permission, you know what you should do? Let them in. Go out of your way to let them in. But our human nature wants to say, I'm going to block them. They didn't get my permission to get in front of me. Our response should be those that are cursing us, those that are intentionally trying to be unkind to us or take advantage of us, our response should be, bless them that curse you. If someone comes up behind you tailgating you, instead of having road rage, just pull off the road and let them go by and say, Lord, I don't know what they're dealing with. For some reason, they're mad at the world. And the reason they are, there's something in their life that's not right. Lord, I pray, knowing you know everything about them, I pray, Lord, you would intervene and help them change. That's what it means to love your enemies. It's not a feeling. It's not a physical embrace. It's not even what we think about in the church. You know, if your brother trespasses against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, as much as possible in the workplace, we should apply those principles. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about your enemies. Those that don't want to resolve anything with you. Those that have no desire to follow biblical principles. Bless them that curse you. And then, do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. Now, when someone hates you, that means they oppose you. It's not just that they're cursing you because of something that happened on the highway. But this is a person that they're just in that consistent state that they hate you. Have you ever had someone hate you? I had a man one time, as a result of something I said, told his wife he was going to kill me. He hated me. Thankfully, he's a good friend today. But at one time, he hated me. Jesus said, do good to those that hate you. That means do the things that benefit them. And let's notice how this is explained in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. There's a lot in the Bible about this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense, and this is akin to what Brother Marty was preaching. That's talking about paying back. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now there's a couple of things here that people misinterpret that exempts them in their mind from doing what this verse says. Now notice this. First of all, recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't treat people the way they treated you, assuming they treated you in a bad way. You know, there's a general principle, and I'll turn right back to that. I believe it's Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. This is just a general principle that relates to this. Jesus says, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now let's get back to the example I was using earlier. If someone pulls in front of you and you get mad at them and enraged, do you want them to treat you that way? Think of all the times you in your mind have been justified, you thought you were justified in your anger, but you would never want to be treated that way. So that's just a general principle. Jesus says, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know what that means? That means I have nothing to hide. I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to trip you up. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm just open and honest. If you made a mistake driving and the person pulls you over, you can just say, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that again. It was my fault. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. See, here's the thing. If you are walking in fellowship and in harmony with the Lord, you've got a power that the world doesn't have. And I'm not talking about, again, what the religious world would say, that you can speak it and it will be done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have a sense of assurance in the Lord, and you can approach things with complete openness and honesty. Why? But you don't have people on your side. You haven't manipulated the circumstances, but you're aligned with God. If you're aligned with God, you can just relax and say, hey, I try to do the right thing. I'm doing what the Bible says. They hate me. They're mad at me. Other people misunderstood. But God and I know that I'm trying to do right. See, that's what matters. That's when you can provide things honest in the sight of all men. I have nothing to hide. Now, here's the one people often misinterpret. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How do people interpret this? Oh, it's not possible. Isn't that how people interpret it? That verse that doesn't apply to this, it's not possible to live at peace with them. If that's the way we interpret it, then this verse is no good for anybody. Because I don't know of anybody that has an enemy that they speak favorably of and say, oh, okay, they hate me, they're my enemy, but yeah, I think it's possible for me to live peaceably with them. The key to this verse are the two words, or the three words, lieth in you. If it be possible, as much as, that is, to the degree that it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, if there is not peace between us, it's not going to be because I'm not doing everything I can do. I can't control the other person. I can't make them be forgiven. I can't make them like me. But as much as lieth in me, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to live peaceably with them. I had an experience in a church one time when one of the members of the church was upset with me. She wouldn't speak to me. And you know what I did? Every Sunday after church, she'd be in the lunchroom. I'd go right up to her and speak to her. I didn't enjoy that. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. And that's the way an enemy operates. You say, brother, buddy, you mean a church member can be an enemy? Your husband or wife could be an enemy. If your husband or wife is opposed to you, you're to apply those principles. Love your enemy. Now that would be, and I'm thankful I've never had to be tested with that. I'm sure that would be one of the hardest areas to love your enemy. And I would suggest that you marry someone that's not going to be an enemy as best you can. See, most of the enemies that we are required to love are not people we're living with 24 hours a day. So notice as Paul goes on in Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. You know what that means? That means this person may be opposing me, they may be my enemy, and rather than trying to avenge myself, when it says give place unto the wrath, that just means get out of the way and let God deal with it as he sees fit. Right. Give place unto wrath. You say, wait a minute. You mean I've got to get out of the way before the Lord will deal with them? Well, yes, that's exactly right. And notice what Solomon said about this. Chapter 24, Proverbs, verse 17. Listen to this. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Now that's the way we're prone to be, isn't it? Some guy goes flying by me, driving recklessly, and I go on down the road, and the police have pulled him over. Man, I rejoice, don't you? When this guy passed us today, see, I'm preaching to myself probably more than I am you. When this guy passed us today, it made me glad because I knew that where we were driving, there's usually state troopers along the highway there. And I couldn't wait to see him be pulled over. But the Lord, listen to what the Lord says to me in that. He says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe the Lord won't see it. It's just telling us, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Now, I don't remember the particular principle, Brother Marty was referring to, but this is a ringing a bell with me with something he said, and maybe he can tell me after the service, but notice this. He was talking about unless you're forgiving, the Lord won't forgive you. Notice that same dynamic is here. Notice this. Don't be glad when your enemy stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. You know why that guy probably didn't get pulled over? Because I was wanting him to. The Lord said, okay, buddy, if you're rejoicing at his fall, I'll just pull back. See, God doesn't allow you to ever glory in someone else's misfortune, no matter what they've done to you. Now, there is a legal system, and people are accountable for their actions, and there's legal consequences for their actions. But we're talking about your personal vengeance toward other people. So Paul says in Romans 12, we'll try to bring this to a close as we finish up these verses. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. You never have the right to get even with someone. You know, if people would follow some of the basic principles of loving thy neighbor as thyself, our court systems would not have a backlog. Someone once said, and I believe it's true, that if we were obedient to the Ten Commandments, if we loved the Lord and loved our neighbor, there would be no need for the court system. But we know that in our world, man will never obey God's word perfectly. But see, you can't pass enough laws to maintain order when people have no order in their own life. One of our founding fathers said that our Constitution is completely inadequate for any other people but a religious people. And they were referring to the Christian religion. Our Constitution is inadequate for any other people. Therefore, here we go to loving your enemy. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now let's just stick with the example of driving. What if somebody passes you, and maybe there's an oncoming car, and you have to slam on brakes, and there's almost a three-vehicle collision, and you're all mad about it? And then let's say 5 or 10 miles down the road, that guy that endangered your life, or that woman, or whoever it is on the side of the road in the middle of the summer with a flat tire. What are you going to do? Human nature's going to say, ha, ha, ha. That's what they deserve as you drive on by. You know what Jesus said? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. You know what you do? You pull over, help him change the tire, if he'll let you. You know, Jesus dealt with that too. He says, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and maybe we'll get to this at a later time, The last thing he says is, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. There are some people that are so much of an enemy that it's a danger to be in their presence. See, you've got to use some discernment. Is this someone that I can do good to? Is this a neighbor that's offended with me and I can help them out with something at their house? Or is this person that's, they're liable to kill me if I get too close to them? See, Jesus always sets it up in a way that it will function in real life. And then finally, notice the last verse of Romans 12. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's so easy to be overcome of evil. But if you'll practice overcoming evil with good, you'll realize how much better that is. You getting all mad and worked up didn't harm that other person at all. It only harmed you. But overcome evil with good. I hope we've been able to make this clear, and maybe we can continue if the Lord will guide us in that way.